Well, if you've been joining us the past couple of weeks, you know that we have been in a three-part series. Today is the conclusion of that series, and the series is entitled Miracles. I want to give you a scripture. It's found in Psalm 77, verses 13 and 14 says, "Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God?" And the answer to that is there is no God as great as our God. Goes on to say, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." And can I tell you, He's still the God of miracles. We are living in a world which desperately needs a miracle right now. And I want to tell you, He is still the God of miracles. Week one, we talked about the miracle of God's presence. If you missed any of these, be sure and go online to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com, and there you can find all these messages archived there for you. You can listen to these again. This one was foundational. I encourage you, if you missed this one, to be sure and go back, because it's talking about the fact that how we see things and our perspective of things. And I'm telling you, the way we are seeing what we're going through right now and what's going on in our world with COVID-19 running throughout so many countries all around the world and hitting even home, can I tell you that we need to make sure that our perspective of what's going on is correct. While we see a world of problems, we also see a world of opportunities. And we talked about the miracle of God's presence in the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of battle, God shows up. And we talked about how that He did that for Elisha when Elisha looked like he was surrounded and his servant only saw the people that were surrounding him in the way of their enemies. But Elisha prayed for God to open his eyes, and he saw the hills filled full of the chariots of God. And He let him know that there were more than with us than are those that are with them. And I want to tell you, as we're looking at the data today and you're listening to all of the news about the coronavirus and everything with that, and how we need to follow the instructions of our leaders. And I encourage you to be safe and be wise and follow the instructions of our leaders as we're trying to protect ourselves and we're trying to distance ourselves physically from one another. But can I tell you, when you look at the data that is being put out, make sure that you get the full picture. And that means that you can't just look at things in the natural, but we've got to look at things in the supernatural and have the right perspective. And we talked about that in that we don't just see the things in the natural, but we see beyond that. We see that in the midst of that, God is at work. Now listen, God didn't send the virus, but God in the midst of this can work good. Amen. And God can do amazing things, and God can perform the miraculous in your life. And so I want to encourage you to go and listen to that. Last week we talked about the miracle of the cross. The miracle of the cross. And how that Jesus stretched out His hands. We talked about the palm and what that means. And Jesus opened up the palm of His hands. And He opens up His palm of His hands to all of us today. But He opened up His hands and He took nails in His hands and nails in His feet. And He was crucified brutally on the cross for you and I, paying for our debt so that we could experience life. And that brings us to today. Today we're going to talk about the miracle of new life. New life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that term, new life, I get excited. I just like the term new life. I think it is a freshness about it. The term new life is exciting. And that really is the powerful message of Easter. Easter is all about new life. I guess that's why I like mornings. You know, we get up in the morning and everything's new. It's fresh. The sun is coming up. It's a new beginning to a new day. You can get up each morning and say, "Hey, I haven't seen this one before. I know what the other ones look like, but I've never seen this one before." And God's able to do something new. I believe it's important to get up every day with a song in your heart and say, "This is a day the Lord has made. I will," and that's a choice, "I will rejoice and be glad in it." But new life, new beginning, that's what God offers. Isn't it wonderful that God offers us a do-over? Have there ever been things in your life that you wish that you could go back and redo? I do. I think all of us do. We have those places that we wish we could go back and revisit and do things a little bit differently. Now, let me just put, this is really the whole message here, but I just want to put a parenthesis in right up front here when you talk about going back and redoing things. And so I just want to just say this. You cannot change your past. You can't change the past. But you can have a different future. You can have a different future. You can't, and you can't, listen to this, you can't have the future God has for you if you are still bound to your past. And what God wants to do is settle your yesterday so that He can give you a new tomorrow, the one He has planned for you. And I trust you, trust me, it's far better than the one that we would pick for ourselves. God has an amazing future for us. But you will never experience all that God has for you if you are stuck in your past. And I think that's why Paul found it so important. And Paul was one, the Apostle Paul, who had a past. You're talking about a past. He was responsible for the murder of Christians. And I mean, he had a rough past. But Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward those things which are ahead. I press towards the high calling of Jesus Christ. So he understood the importance of pressing forward. And that's really the miracle of the cross we talked about last week, in that Jesus paid for our past. He took our sins upon Him, right, so that we could become the righteousness of God. It's the miracle of the tomb, also the empty tomb, in that, listen, that the grave clothes, when Jesus came up out of the grave, He took the old grave clothes off and He folded them up neatly before He left out of the tomb, meaning He's not taking the old grave clothes with Him. Listen, Jesus wants you to be able to leave your past and to have a future, and you can leave the grave clothes behind. That's why Jesus, when He was calling Lazarus forth from the dead, He instructed those there to loose him and let him go. Take off the grave clothes so that you can have a future, so that you can have a tomorrow. Okay, end of parentheses there, but I want you to get this in today's message, and that is that God has a miracle of new life available for you today. He has the miracle of new life, and that is available for you today. So we're not determined by our past or our current circumstances, or what others people's opinions are about us, or the identity that our world tries to label us with. No, listen, today, God comes on this Easter morning to offer you and I new life. Here in Charlotte, growing up, there was a clown that used to have his own TV show. It was called Joy the Clown. It was the Joy the Clown show. I actually got to go on that TV show one time. That was crazy. But Joy the Clown, he had this, you know how clowns do, they have these big white gloves, you know, oversized gloves. He had this big glove, and when he would make a mistake, because back in those days, it was live TV, just like today's live. Live's kind of intimidating, but he was live on TV, and when he would make a mistake, he would go up to the camera real close and take that big white glove, and he'd say, "Erase that," and then he'd come back. And can I tell you that that's what God does for us? He's able to erase our past. He not only covers it, listen, He removes it far from us so that we can have a new beginning. In school, I appreciate the fact that pencils had erasers on it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I probably used the eraser end maybe more than I did the other end. I had a lot of erase. You ever erase so much that you kind of burn a hole in the paper? I was one of those that would do that. But listen, God's got a big eraser. He's got a big eraser. And He erased our sins at the cross when He died for us and took our sins upon Himself. He's got a big eraser. He's able to give us a new beginning, a new beginning. How much so is that? How powerful is that eraser? How powerful is it? You say, well, that sounds good, but you don't understand my past. You don't understand my current situation. You don't understand where I am right now. You don't understand what life looks like for me. Can I tell you how amazing and huge and big of an eraser that God has? It's described in John chapter 3, when a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night asking Him a question and began to have a dialogue with Him. He quickly found out he was out of his league. And I want you to look at this with me. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could, listen to this, perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now, he recognized something was powerful about Jesus because of the miracles that he was able to perform. I want you to know that God wants to perform a miracle in your life, not just to amaze you, but to demonstrate to you not only his power, but who he is and who he is. And so while Nicodemus was talking about the signs that he was performing, the miracles that he was doing, Jesus' response was powerful. Jesus replied and said, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I don't know if Nicodemus knew he was going to get that kind of response. Which, what ensued was a conversation where Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, how in the world can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? How is that possible? And he began to question, and he didn't understand, and Jesus began to break it down for him and explain to him that this wasn't something of a natural birth, but this was a spiritual new birth. It is so much of a new beginning that Jesus described it as being born again. Now, that's a huge do-over. To be born again, you ever feel like you could just start all over? Guess what? You can. You can start all over. You can begin anew today. And that's exactly what Jesus comes and offers. He offers us a new beginning. He offers to us new life. He offers us eternal life. And in that conversation, Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus this. Pick it up in the 14th verse. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, if you remember, in the Old Testament, some of you might remember the movie, The Ten Commandments. You remember Moses, and he delivered Israel out of bondage, and they were wandering in the wilderness. And there were many sicknesses and afflictions that had come upon them. And what God instructed Moses to do was to take this serpent and on a stick and lift it up on a staff, and when you would look to that, you would be healed. But let me just tell you what that represented. It represented Jesus being lifted up on the cross. In fact, if you'll look today in many medical fields, you'll see it's a symbol that's still used in the medical community today for healing. And what Jesus was explaining was that was a type and shadow, was a symbol of what was to come. And Jesus was saying, just as that is the case, the Son of Man, and what that truly represented was the Son of Man must be lifted up, and listen to this, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. That's what Jesus was saying. And what Jesus was saying, what he was describing was, I must be lifted up on the cross. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to take all the sins of the world upon me, and I'm going to become the sacrificial lamb. I'm going to die for the sins of the world so that I can impart to them this new life, this eternal life. And he goes on to say, in a scripture that you've probably recognized, the next verse says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Listen to me this morning. God's not mad at you. He's not against you. God so loves you that he gave his only Son to die on the cross that you could have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, I don't know what you have heard, what church is and what religion is and what it represents, and perhaps we've had a bad PR problem. Perhaps you got the wrong message from the church, but the message that God gives is that God loves you so much that he died for you. And sometimes we stop there, but I got to add the 17th verse onto that, which says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you. God never came to condemn you, but listen to this, but to save the world through him. God's on a rescue mission to seek and to save that which was lost and to offer you new life in him. Now, he goes on in John chapter 10. Let's stay in the book of John. John chapter 10. He says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. So there's a thief. There's the world. There's your circumstances. There's a virus. There's things going on in the world and in your life that comes to seek, to steal, and to destroy. But just listen to what Jesus says. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full. You've heard that. Let's add another verse onto that that goes with that. He goes on to say, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came into this world as the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, to lay down his life for us. And his scripture that I shared last week in John chapter 10 and verse 18 says, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So it was horrendous what was done to Jesus. But Jesus, that would not have happened unless Jesus was willing to lay down his life. It wasn't that his life was taken from him. Jesus laid his life down for you and I. And not only that, which gives us the hope today of Easter, he has the power to take it up again. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5 says this, behold, I make all things new. The scripture there is saying that the Lamb that sits on the throne, he says this, behold, I make all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, for Nicodemus to understand that there was this new beginning, this thing of being called born again, Nicodemus's question was how? How can this be? And that may be your question today. You may be saying, how is this possible? You don't understand where I am. You don't understand my track record. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand the things that have been done to me. I'm a victim of my circumstance. You don't understand where I live. You don't understand my world. You're in church. You're there with these lights behind you, Pastor. And you don't understand where I am right now in all this and in life and on my journey. The question is how? How can this be that you could have a new beginning? How is it that new beginning is available? So our question really is a how question. But can I just present to you that the question doesn't need to be a how question, but rather a who question. A who question. Jesus, when he was explaining to his disciples that he was going to leave this world, he was going to be crucified, he was going to suffer at the hands of men, but he was going to rise again, he was going to go to his Father, but he was going to return again, he shared these words that's recorded in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Can I tell you, God's word is so often that to us, to fear not. Don't be troubled. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Don't worry about what's happening in the world. Don't respond out of fear. But look at this. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, right there, there's a key. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, the question should not be a how, but a who question. And then he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If I've told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you, look at verse 3. He says, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, so that you, where I am, you're going to be there also. Verse 4 says, you know the way to the place where I am. Am going. Now, he says, you know the way. There's a way. And so Thomas, he says this. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how, there's that how question, how can we know the way? How? How can we know? I mean, we don't know where. So his question was a where. His question was a how. How can we know the way? And Jesus, look at his answer. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to see this miracle God that we serve. I want you to listen very carefully, if you would. And I present to you the fact that this COVID-19 gives us a unique opportunity. Everything stopped. Everything ceased. You look through our streets, the cars are gone. People are gone. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. You look at how everybody's had to shut everything down. Can I tell you, as I did in part one of this series, it's an opportunity to stop. It's an opportunity to be still. It's an opportunity to listen. Listen to this. It's an opportunity to start again. You can say, where is all this leading? Where do we go from here? How do I get my business back up? How do I become employed again? Where do I go from here? How can I make it? So there's a where and there's a how. How can I make it? All these uncertainties around me. But listen, it's not a how, but it's a who. It's a who. Back to this movie that we see this time of year again, The Ten Commandments. Moses, when he was there in front of the burning bush. You remember that scene? And the voice comes out of the burning bush, Moses. I don't know it has to sound like that, but Moses. And it begins. God begins to speak to Moses. And he begins to instruct Moses that he's going to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And he's choosing him to be the leader to bring them out of that bondage. And Moses, he's saying, how? How is this possible? I can't do this. But the answer was found in the who. God said, I am. I am. And I love that. And in fact, he said, when Pharaoh asked you who sent you, it's a I am sent you. It's the I am. I think it's fascinating because if you were to fast forward when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to have him crucified, they were asking if it was him, and Jesus' answer was, I am. And when he said, I am, the Bible records that those that were coming after him, the power of him, his word saying, I am, they fell back. There was a power that knocked them off of their feet. He's still the I am. Can I tell you, he was I am in the Old Testament, he's I am in the New Testament, and he's still the I am today. Listen, the question should be a who question. A who question. He said, I am. He is still I am. Jesus Christ is still the answer to every question. He is still the solution to every problem. Think about this for a moment with me, would you? God created this earth, and he created mankind, and he gave mankind some things to experience and some things that there's three things that I see that they experienced, when they experienced these things, you know what happened? They lost these things. And we've been lost ever since. And that's why Jesus came to this earth on a rescue mission. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me get you to write down three things. Three things that they lost in the garden and we have lost as a consequence. Number one, Adam and Eve lost their way. They lost their way. Now they had a beautiful way of life. When God created them, He made this beautiful garden, and the Bible says that God would come down and He'd walk in the cool of the day with them, and they would have conversation. Life was very, very good. But you know what happened? They fell from the garden. They fell because they disobeyed God. But it was a beautiful. Beautiful experience that they had, but they lost that experience. In fact, God banished them from the garden. And it began with the fact that they didn't listen to what God said, but rather, listen to this, they listened to the tempter. Satan came disguised as a serpent into the garden and tempted them. And this leads us to the second thing that they lost. They lost their way, but they also lost truth. Truth. So again, God walked with them in the cool of the day, had conversation with them, had relationship with them. And when they listened to a lie, to the enemy, God came to them not with a how, but a who question. Adam was hiding himself because he recognized that he was naked and hid himself in the garden. And God asked a who question. He said, who told you that you were naked? It was a who question. So in other words, I was your who, but now you've found another who. I was your source that you listened to, but now you've got another who. And so they lost their truth. The third thing that I see that they lost is they lost life. Now notice, when God created mankind, he breathed life into man, and he became, the Bible says, a living soul. Now, because of them finding another who, another source of information, when the enemy came to them and said, well, God didn't really mean that. What this is what he really meant, and they rejected God's word, received a lie, and now they were separated from God. So death now comes into play. They had separated themselves from God, and by the way, that's what God is. God is life. He is life. He's the life of man. He's the light of man. And they separated themselves from God because of disobedience. Now I want you to notice something here with me, if you could. Now notice, Satan said this, the who, which was God in the garden, when God gave him instructions and said, you can eat of all the trees except the one tree, Satan comes and says, the who is not enough. Secondly, we see that Satan says, the who is wrong. In fact, he goes on to say that you can become like the who. You can become like God. And he offered a you instead of a who. You getting that? He says, you can be like God. It was the lie that he told them. So he offered a you instead of the who, and he offered a what instead of the who. He said, you need to do something. You partake of this, you do something, then you're going to become wise, and you're going to become like God. So he says, so what happened was we inserted ourselves, and we inserted our doing, and guess what? We lost our way. We lost truth. We lost our life. For a lie. And now we are in a world we're all searching for answers and trying to find what truth is. Interesting, when Jesus was brought before Pilate, before he was to be crucified, Pilate said, what is truth? And yet he was looking at truth. Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. John 8 and 32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is why Jesus declared these words in John 14 and 6. Jesus answered and said, I'm the who. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he offers to restore everything that we lost at the Garden of Eden. He offers to restore that again. And the way he did that, listen to this. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve said, we want to be selfish, we want to be the who, we want our own way, we're going to do it ourselves, there's something for us to do, and this is why we're in the mess we're in. So it was not God's will, it was their will in the Garden of Eden. But fast forward, Jesus is now in the Garden of Gethsemane, another garden, and he restores and he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he reversed everything that was messed up in the other garden. He restored it at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he set himself to go to the cross, to suffer, to be crucified, to be nailed, to be pierced, to be tortured. Listen, so that you and I could have new life. And that's why Jesus can say, when Thomas said, how do we get there? I don't know the way. How do I get there? You might be saying today, I'm in a mess here. The world's in a mess. Where do we go from here? What do we do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix my life. And Jesus said, that question is not a how question. It's a who question. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is why I couldn't sit down this morning. I feel like just jumping up and down right now. I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling in your homes. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He made a way on the cross. He offers truth, and he says, I am truth. Know me, and that word know is not just a knowledgeable head knowledge, but it's personal. It's I know him intimately. I have a relationship with him, and you know him. He'll set you free. He said, so he's made a way through the cross. He offers truth, and that he is truth, and offers that relationship again with you, and he gives life in that he is life. He is life. Can I present to you that Easter is not just an event, it's the person. Easter is a who, it's not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, before he did that, he came on the scene where Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And they looked at him and said, oh, you're too late. If you would have been here, let me tell you something. God is never too late. He's never too late. And what he did 2,000 years ago is still appropriate for you today in your current situation. And Jesus' response to them when they said, well, we know that he'll rise again. When Jesus said, well, he'll rise again. And they said, well, we know that's an event. That's later. That's the last day. There'll be a resurrection day when that event comes. Yes, but Jesus said, it's not an event just in the future. I am the resurrection. His answer to them was found in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus offers life. He offers a new life. And he says this. Then he asks this question, do you believe this? And that's the question for us today. Do we believe this? Listen, again, Easter is not an event on a calendar. It's a person. And his name is Jesus. He offers us the miracle of new life. You know, as we look around today and we see COVID-19 spread everywhere, this virus, and everybody is masking up and putting gloves on, and there's this fear. And here's what I believe the fear is. If this was a flu that you get sick and you get over, I think it'd be one thing. But the concern is that this is a virus that can take you out. This is a virus that brings death. And we see that in the numbers. And I think the fear of this thing and the reason we've had to shut things down is because of the fear of death. But can I tell you something on this Easter Sunday? The Bible says that we all have the appointment of death. It is appointed a man wants to die. Hate to share that with you, but it's the reality. But here's the thing. There's also the promise of life. Because Jesus said, yet though he die, you'll live again. And in me, you're really never going to die. It's just a passing from life to life. When we know Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and he was buried and he rose again. Because he lives again, we have this promise of new life. It's powerful. The power of his resurrection. So today we don't just celebrate Easter. We experience Easter. Because we can experience Jesus Christ himself. And when you understand this, this fear of death goes away because, listen, it's like the song that we sung, because he lives, because he came forth from the grave, because he came through, and he is victor over death, hell, and the grave. Guess what? So are we. So are we. But let me add one more thing that he says to this that we need to know. John chapter 14, verse 6 again. Jesus answered, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he goes on to say one more thing. No one comes to the Father except through me. To which some of you may say, now you're going too far. Listen, I didn't say this. Jesus said this. Why would Jesus say this? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus is the only one that took care of the very thing that separated us from God. He is the only one that took care of the sin issue for us, became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, because of what he declared and what he did, he is either lunatic, liar, or Lord. I answered the question that Jesus asked, do you believe this? I answered in the affirmative. I believe that Jesus is Lord of all. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. But he has risen again from the grave. It gives me hope. Because Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all of it, all that we've done, we've all sinned. All come short of the glory of God. But Jesus took all that upon himself so that we could have new life. And he defeated sin for us. He defeated sin for us. You say, well, I can't live right. No, you can't. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need the hope of this resurrection. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that we have today, that he is alive and well. Let me read you a couple of scriptures in closing of encouragement to you on this Easter Sunday. Matthew 28 records it this way. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. So don't be fearful. Listen, there's hope today in Jesus. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who is risen. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him as I have told you. So we can see him also. We can know him personally. And it may not be physically as they saw him. But listen, you can know him because he's as real and as close as the mention of his name. And he's here with us today to reveal himself to us and to come to know us. And then let me give you this final hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, listen, I tell you a mystery. While we not all sleep, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But listen to this. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Christ our Lord. We have victory in Him today. Come on, everybody. It's Easter. Jesus is risen. But most importantly, it's not just something to celebrate, but it's something to experience. We need to experience Him. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Again, it's in the who. Jesus offers His life and says, I want to have a personal relationship with you. And all you have to do is believe upon Him. Receive Him in your heart. Begin to follow Him and follow His truth for your life. And Jesus will bring you back to the place that He has planned for your life and make your life meaningful. Can I pray with you today? Father, thank You for this word today. Thank You for the message of Easter. Thank You for the hope that we have of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. But the Scripture tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us and gives us the power to live anew. So You're able to come on the inside. So this is not just an informational message, but this is an experiential message where You're able to come on the inside and change us from the inside out. So Lord, today, give us the boldness and the courage to do that, to allow You to come in, to be the Lord of our life, to come in on the inside so that we can experience this new birth, to have a new beginning, to experience new life through what You have offered to us, this free gift of life through Jesus Christ. Well, if you'll just stay with me for a moment, I want to offer a prayer to you today. If you're watching today and you haven't done this, you haven't accepted Jesus in your life, I want to invite you to do that right now. I want to invite you to accept Jesus into your life. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm just going to help you with the words. And listen, you're only one prayer away from your life changing. You're only one prayer away from experiencing new life that's found in Jesus today. And I want to have the honor of leading you in that prayer. All you got to do, let me just help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Come on, right there where you are, would you pray this prayer with me? Come on, just pray this to the Lord. Just say, thank You, God, for sending Your Son Jesus so that I could have life. I accept what He did on the cross. I believe He died and was buried and risen again. I believe He's coming again. And God, I want Jesus to live inside of me. So I open my heart and I turn from my way and I turn to You. And I ask You, God, come into my life. Come on the inside and make me brand new. Today I give You my life, and with all of my heart, I'll follow You as You help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to tell you something. Heaven is rejoicing with you, and we rejoice with you. And we just celebrate new life with you. And we encourage you, follow Jesus. Not just believe upon Him, but now believe on Him with your life. Follow Him and let Him lead you to the place that He's always planned for you.